All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Right After Dragons. Curry and Dats here. Wow. Okay. Episode two, just minutes from the final credits rolling. Curry, what are you thinking right now?
That was a lot, that episode. It was a major setup episode, but the wheels are in motion. There's a lot to come out of that episode that we need to talk about. So that's what we're about to do.
Yeah. Macro is pace, and there's like so much more to get into. So you want to take it from the top?
Sure. So first things first, title of the episode, which we didn't know when we did our preview, but we knew coming into the episode, it was called The Rogue Prince. So it pretty clearly was a reference to Daemon Targaryen, the Rogue Prince. He has gone rogue. This episode, they kind of mentioned it twice in the beginning, but roughly six months have passed since last week's episode. I think it was Lord Corlys said something about, you know, Daemon he's been in Dragonstone with 40 gold cloaks for half a year now, something like that. So that was,
yeah, we haven't challenged.
Yeah. So that was the key that, okay, we're 6 months ahead roughly. But yeah, so that was the big takeaway is the Rogue Prince. Daemon has gone rogue. He's got an army of 40 gold cloaks who he says, you know, I'm their commander, so they're going to listen to me. So he's in Dragonstone with his army. He's got Missaria, his woman. He's got his dragon, Caraxes, and he is just a thorn in the side of the king and the small council for now. Later in the episode, we see it's a little more than that. But so to start off the episode, we have the small council meeting, which is the small council, at least this episode, is just like a plot device. It's just like, okay, here's what you missed, you know, here's what's going on. So it's kind of a plot device to just explain some key points. And some of the key points, the Kingsguard, there's a new leader of the Kingsguard, Sir Harold, who we saw, he was kind of like taking care of Rhaenyra last week. We need a new member of the Kingsguard as well, which we get to a little later. And then some other plot that's discussed at the small council. Once again, they brought it up last week, but we got this crab feeder character in the Stepstones. So quick geography here of Westeros. Yes. So the Stepstones are all the way like south, between like Dorne and the Free Cities. So it's, you know, the Narrow Sea separates Westeros and Essos, the Free Cities. But if you go, if you go south, that's, you know, Dorne is kind of like the tip, kind of like the Russia, Alaska type thing. You know, it's like it's a small, you know, it almost connects, but that the Stepstones are these islands that are between Westeros and Essos. So that's when they talk about the Stepstones, that's, I guess, like a major shipping route, major trade route for Lord Corlys for his fleet. And there's this crab feeder guy, these pirates who are, you know, taking over these Westerosi ships and feeding the crew to crabs. And it's pretty graphic, the visuals that they use for the show.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are kind of like the three main, we almost got like a preview of them in the, like, this is what happened last week. It was like very much like, hey, like Daemon's out. The crab feeder is a person and Kristen is important. And that's what the plot device of the council, you know, gets right into.
Yeah.
Right off Jump Street here for sure.
That, like you said, that was the main points from the small council. We have, Rhaenyra tries to kind of speak up and say, oh, why don't we just use dragons to go, you know, use dragon riders. And she immediately gets kicked out of the small council. and I think we were all thinking it like, yeah, why not just use the dragons? And I'm guessing it's kind of like, you know, we always compare the dragons to, you know, some sort of like nuclear bomb. It's the kind of thing where someone like Viserys has has seen the kind of damage that dragons can do. And I think he knows that it's not the kind of thing you want to just throw around, you know, because you have it. It's like, we, you know, only kind of a last resort.
Yeah, he's talking about compensating the families of the dead, you know, shipmen who died out there. And Rhaenyra comes in like, why don't we just, you know, bring the dragons out, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's roll.
It reminds me, that this is totally off, reminds me of like Austin Powers when Scott would be like, I have a gun. Like, I'll just we can just shoot him. And Dr. Evil's like, no.
No, why would we do
anyway,
that?
Anyway, that's what it reminded me of. You know, she's like, we have a dragon. Let's just go, you know, burn these crab feeder, you know, get rid of them.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, let's not.
Yeah, exactly. And was it Mad Queen vibes for you, though, or no?
No, I didn't get Mad Queen vibes just yet. Obviously, yeah, that's how Daenerys would handle the situation. She would take her three dragons and she'd burn them all. But I think Rhaenyra was genuinely just like looking at it like, guys, like what are we doing here? Like,
hey, why are we?
We can make them go away. Like, I don't know.
Ships are made of wood. Yeah. We have dragons. What's happening?
This guy's
here?
Feeding. 100%. He's feeding our people to crabs. Let's feed him to a dragon. Done.
Game over.
Anyway.
Yeah, and she kind of addressed a small plot hole there, where it's like, wait, why don't they? And so, you know, the nuke and the, you know, that type of response is maybe understandable. But yeah, that's what they're going with. 100%.
So yeah, so she gets kicked out, and in the meantime, she gets to select a new member of the Kingsguard. And predictably, I as soon as I saw like it was a bunch of knights, I'm like, oh, she's gonna pick Ser Criston. And we did actually have you know, minor spoiler, it was in the HBO like image previews that they show during midweek. They released the images. Mm-hmm. There was an image of Ser Criston in Kingsguard armor. So but yeah, so she picks Ser Criston, and it's kind of a big deal because he's not from like a strong house or anything. And that's what Sir, you know, the Hand, Otto Hightower, is saying, you know, oh, like these two houses are, you know, very good allies for the crown. And she's like, well, look, he's the only one who has any actual combat experience. So, what are we doing here? Let's just pick the strongest one, pick the best warrior.
Yeah, and she plays the, like, listen, like, these people are supposed to protect my dad. Like, you know, I know you want to play, like, you know, handshakes and, you know, backdoor deals here, but we're talking about, you know, safety first, right?
Yeah, so I think it was a good decision. I think Ser Criston, you know, we see him later. He's like first in line behind Sir Otto at Dragonstone. So I think, and he has a little back and forth with Daemon. So I think he's going to be a pretty important player for the rest of the season. You know, seeing how long he survives, I don't know if he's long for this world, but I think he's going to have a pretty solid you know, role player.
Yeah, he has Podrick vibes, but like probably like a bigger role than your boy Podrick.
Yeah, I feel like not quite Podrick because he's like almost like a mix of Brienne and Podrick, where like he's a warrior, obviously. And there's clear, you know, there's more to him, I think, that we haven't seen yet. I don't know if I would say Podrick. Almost like, I don't know.
I'm just remembering like most recent Podrick, who was like kind of like a badass, himself and good looking suave guy.
I'm more like the Hound vibes almost. Like, not that he's like a bad guy. Like, the Hound was kind of like a tortured soul, but just like, you know, he'll mess you up, but also you gotta kind of, you know, you don't want to get too close to him. Maybe. I don't know.
Exactly. Okay. I like it. All right. Let's keep spinning here.
So
what do we got?
So yeah. So next, let's talk about our boy, the King Viserys, and his model trains, his little Lego set.
Oh my God, the man cave,
and his girl, Alicent. So that's the next scene we have. Is Viserys is playing with his toys, and Alicent's there hanging out with him, and she knows the way to his heart is through his toys. So we see, you know, they're chatting it up. She's kind of picking at her nails, like she kind of seems uncomfortable, but I also feel like she was kind of. I feel like she's into it a little more than she was, you know, last week. Like six months have passed, where I guess she's been kind of hanging out with the King.
She's seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, or like, you know, a little bit of, you know, what could be here. And I think she's liking the king.
Yeah.
He's the king.
I think it's, you know, it's no longer, you know, I think it started out, it was like, all right, you're the hand of the king is making you do this. But now I think it's kind of, she's a little into it as well. She understands it. The big takeaway that I took from their initial scene is the king says something along the lines of, don't tell Rhaenyra about our talks. So that means for the past 6 months, they've been kind of seeing each other, and Rhaenyra has no idea. And we see that later in the episode, you know, the last scene. But yeah, so Rhaenyra had no idea that this was going on. You know, her and Alicent are the next scene, they're talking, and there's no mention of anything to do with the king. It's just kind of like, oh, you know, my dad's going to read.
She's almost doing the king's bidding.
She is.
Like,
she is.
Like, and I just want to go back to last week. You know, like, she was saying, Rhaenyra was saying, like, I don't want to be a princess. Like, I want to ride dragons and eat cakes with you all over the freaking Seven Kingdoms. Like, that. Like, I was her best friend. That's like, it wasn't like, oh, who's this random chick? This was like bestie for life.
Yes, this,
and now it's,
this is like her best friend. Yeah. And, you know, they're kind of talking innocently afterward. And Allison's just like, you know, oh, like, you know, what if he were to remarry? How would you feel about that? Like, just kind of, you know, picking her brain, kind of trying to put it in there that, oh, it'll be okay, you know, it's his duty, you get it, right? Like,
he's gotta do it, right, no big deal.
Yeah. But speaking of remarrying, the next scene after Alicent and Princess Rhaenyra is we get Lord Corlys Velaryon, his wife Rhaenys, the queen who never was, talking with Viserys the king. So this was a pretty important scene, because it it really sets the table for the rest of the episode for the most part, other than the Daemon part, but we'll get there. But yeah, so we have Lord Corlys says, you know, look, the crown's vulnerable, we got, you know, the queen died, you have no heir, or, you know, your female heir, Daemon left, Daemon's doing this and that, we got the crab feeder down there. He's big on that. He's got to make sure he throws that in every chance he can.
He loves
and and then he says, you know, look, like, let's take a stand, let's do something that'll show everyone how strong the realm is. Marry my 12-year-old daughter.
Yes, right.
That was not where I thought he was going with it. I thought he was going
to
propose
who you're related.
Well, yeah, but that Targaryens doesn't matter.
I know.
But that's
I know.
I really thought he was talking like military strategy. I thought he was like, we got to go full force. I back the princess. Let's bring the dragons down. Let's kill the crab feeder. But no, he says, you know what we should do? You should marry my child daughter.
Yes.
Wow. No, I mean,
powerful.
His reasoning makes sense from like all the, you know, I'm a strong house. I'm the richest house in the realm. And I have all the ships.
Richest house.
So they call him the sea snake. He's like a, he's like a, almost not a pirate, but he's like a, yeah, he's a seaman. He's a, you know, a naval man. Yeah. So anyway, so yeah, he says, you know, marry my daughter. She's got Targaryen blood. We're both from Valyria. Like, you know, our house is run deep.
He loves that.
Yeah.
He loves that too.
And it's shocking. You know, later in the episode, he's walking through the garden with Lady Lena. Okay. Lady Lena. And she is a child. Like, it is.
Yeah, I wrote she's seven.
It's
before we found out she was 12.
It's stunning just how small she is. And she says, you know, they're having a nice little chat and says, you know, oh, they're talking about dragons. But I thought that was a little interesting tidbit was, you were the last rider of Balerion the Dread. Like, what was that like? That's pretty cool. I didn't realize that. Balerion the Dread, obviously, that was, you know, Aegon the Conqueror's dragon, the, you know, the Black Dread, the biggest one, the one with the huge skull. That's Balerion the Dread. So, Sarah's got to ride him before he died. That's pretty cool. But, and then also she mentions that Vhagar, who I'm guessing is like another dragon that was in, you know, in the time of Balerion. So, Vhagar is still out there somewhere, right? Like, you know, so that's just something to think of. You know, Vhagar might come back at some point. Might not be this season, but just something. You know, don't forget that she's out there somewhere.
Yeah, they're telling you that for a reason.
But yeah, so she's just so small. She's so young and naive and innocent. And she says to him, you know, this speech that she probably practiced 100 times with her mom and dad.
Exactly.
That, you know, I will give you many children. You'll be very happy. And my mom said, I don't have to bed you till I'm 14. It's like, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. That was a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot to take. A lot to take in. 100%. 100%. One thing I want to not skip over, because I know we get to it, but in the play, in the man cave, mm-hmm. we got our king, Shaky Hand.
Yes.
Dropping shit.
Yeah.
Know, obviously foreshadowing. You know, he's got a little digit issue, phalange issue, and he drops one of his toys. And so, and we see it later, obviously, and we'll get to that. But it's just like, and you know, Allison sees that. I don't know if she's taking notes, but it's just important and obviously foreshadowing. So I just had that here as well.
No, that's a good point. And then that rolls right into the next scene, which was he's having like a little powwow, not an official small council meeting, but he's meeting with the rest of his council to discuss this mm-hmm. potential marriage to Lady Lena. And mm-hmm. and he's getting his pinky finger treated by maggots, which is just disgusting.
Not great.
The medical field was not great in this time, apparently.
Yeah.
So the maggots will
C-section.
Yeah, they'll eat the rotting flesh and stop the spread. Yeah, good luck with that.
Mm-hmm.
So we know, you know, we saw last week's episode, he had the thing on his back. And we saw at the end, he kind of cut his finger on the Iron Throne itself. And it seems like, you know, now that his finger is infected, I assume the back is struggling as well. So
yeah,
it's ominous foreshadowing there for our boy King Viserys.
Yeah, not great. Couple things. One, just small ones as we keep spinning here. Rhaenyra, 15 years old now. After this has passed. So I don't know if we had an official age on her, but we got one at 15, at least for this episode. Mm-hmm. We know the preview is fast forwarding. Another quote from that little sept scene, was, and I think it might give a little bit of the sense of where she's at. Is like, she says that the king didn't choose me. Like, he chose to spurn Daemon. You know, and so she's not really feeling that, like, you're the chosen one. She's feeling more like, I'm mad at, you're mad at your brother. So now I'm like in. And that's like just a little mindset as we see this episode roll out here.
And another line that along the similar lines about, you know, her being chosen as the heir is her conversation that she had with Rhaenys, with the queen who never was. So this is like shortly after, or the same time that the king is walking with Lady Lena. I'm gonna mess that up every time. Lady Lena. And so Princess Rhaenyra says to Rhaenys, says, you know, they denied you, but they bent the knee to me. So talking about Rhaenys gives her this big speech, like, look, this is what's gonna happen. Men will never put a woman on the crown, on the throne. It's how the world is. Men run the world. Like, you know, I want you to do what you can do, but you know, it's not going to work. I was our best chance at having a queen, and it's not going to happen. So that was Rhaenyra's response was, well, you know, they denied you, but they bent the knee to me. And then Rhaenys comes back and says, oh, is that what they told you as you carry their cups in the small council meetings, which is
it's
true.
Hostile.
I mean,
it's hostile.
She carries the cups. Like, she doesn't sit at the table. She pours wine. Look, you know, they'd rather torch the realm than see a woman on the throne. So yeah, that was a pretty intense moment between the two of them. And I mm-hmm. think we're not done seeing those two interact, because they have, Rhaenys is seeing her story unfold in front of her in the version of Rhaenyra. It's like, mm-hmm. look, that's what happened to me. You're walking down the exact same path.
100%. And her just saying, like, you carry the cups just shows that, like, our boy, the sea snake, is just going home and talking to his wife about, like, hey, this is what's going on. Like, this is, you know, this is dynamic. This is where the princess is at. Like, it's clearly, like, you know, they're scheming. Mm-hmm. Like, they're scheming. And it's a hostile convo. It's not like a, hey, like, you know, I think you should watch out, or, like, don't get too excited because I think they'll replace you. It's very much like, no, like, like step aside. Like we're marrying in and we're in. Like you got to realize that sooner or later. So yeah, it felt like it might be like, hey, like, you know, keep your head up, kid. And then it became quickly like, no, don't even think about it type deal. So interesting. And yeah, not the last of these two squabbling a little bit here, I believe. Mm-hmm. So what else we got?
So now we're starting to get to the action of the episode, the tense mm-hmm. moments. So we had Viserys, the king, again, is talking to Lady Hightower. They get interrupted, and there's news that they bring the small council together, and there's news that Daemon stole a dragon egg. And he leaves a note, says, oh, you know, Lady Missaria is pregnant. I'm going to marry her in 2 days. And the small council is like, what do we do? What do we do? And at this point, Rhaenyra says, in Valyrian, she says to like the messenger from the Dragon Keep, says, whose egg did they steal? Which egg did they steal? And they say, oh, it was Dreamfire's egg, the one that was given to your brother. So I guess that kind of touched a nerve for her and for the king. Mm-hmm. And that's what kind of spurred that gets them into action. It's a call to action. And
yeah,
but for some reason they say, no, like the king, you can't go to Dragonstone. You can't go take on your brothers. Too dangerous.
It's risky. It's risky.
Yeah, it's too dangerous. So instead they send Otto Hightower to Dragonstone. Now,
yeah, I think he's trying to. Yeah, it seemed like he was trying to like win points with the king.
Yes,
a little bit. Like I will go. I will go. Like you to do. You know.
But like he's not.
He's seeing like
he's not. He doesn't take me as like a Ned Stark type hand of the king. Like he's not a warrior.
No.
Like he looks more of like a. Like a little finger type hand of the king. Like he's not gonna
100%. I think very much so. He saw, you know, how close your girl Lena was to kind of sealing the deal, and this is kind of like his like Hail Mary, like I gotta do something for the king type vibes. That's what I took mm-hmm. from it.
And then
other thing is,
I was gonna say leaving for Dragonstone, you know, he's saying goodbye to his daughter, and he says to his daughter, like his last thing he says is, oh, you're gonna see the king tonight. Like,
yeah, you going,
oh, are you making the move? You making the move? And she's like, she's crying and says, like, you know, if you wish, like if that's what you want me to do. And yeah, she was crying. So that I was like, does she not want to do it? Like, is he really forcing her that much? Because I didn't see that really earlier in the episode. It seemed like she really wanted to be there. But I think yeah. she was more crying just because she was worried for her father. Going to Dragonstone.
Yeah, that's what she
says. She says to Sir Criston, she says, you know, please look after the king.
Yeah.
The hand.
Yeah. Question, plot hole that Daemon just snags an egg. Right. What?
I mean, I'm guessing it wasn't actually him, was it? I don't know.
He leaves a message.
A bit of a plot hole.
What is going on?
He would have had to kind of fly in on Caraxes and everyone would have seen that. Like, it's
they just bring this old guy. He's like, oh yeah, this is the guy we have watching the dragon eggs.
So yeah,
and he messed up. He fell asleep.
Bit of a plot hole there. I agree. The fact that he was able to sneak into King's Landing, into the dragon pit, and steal an egg, all in
it just, one night. It reminded me of last week when he was just kind of like hanging out in the closet. You know, maintenance closet, listening to the big talk. So. I don't know, but it happened. He's got the egg, and you know, we got to go because it's a big deal now.
So now we get the action. We get to Dragonstone. We have this standoff on this bridge between Daemon. He's got his gold cloaks. We have Lady Missaria is there with him. And it's, you know, on the other side, we have Otto Hightower. We have Sir Criston and, you know, some other members of the King's Guard, presumably. And it's an intense moment. Everyone draws swords. Caraxes shows up and, you know, it's like, okay, he's got a dragon. What are we going to do? There's some good banter between Sir Criston Cole and Daemon. He says, you know, Sir Crispin, was it? Oh, I don't recall. And then he's, oh, well, maybe you recall me knocking you off your horse. So that was good banter between those two. So that's one of the things that makes me think that, you know, Criston's got some staying power here as a houndish character, you know, some good banter. He can knock you off your ass and he'll let you know about it.
100%.
So then they're trying to, I don't know what Otto Hightower's plan was here. He's good, very well spoken. He's just ripping Damon for his actions, for his whore of a wife, just verbally abusing her, verbally abusing him, attacking them. And it's like, you're verbally attacking him. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think he's just going to bend the knee? Like, no. So
yeah, that's what it seemed like he thought was
going to happen. So Caraxes shows up. They realize that they brought knives to a dragon fight, and
literally,
and then out of nowhere we get Princess Rhaenyra shows up on the back of Syrax and saves the day, really, because if she's not there,
she's moving clouds. Yeah,
so finally, you know, we got two dragons there, so which is kind of like mutually assured destruction. You know, you use your dragon, I'm using mine, no one's getting out alive. So
yeah, escalation. Yeah.
So then she speaks to her uncle, says, I'm your problem, you know, kill me now, I'm the heir, kill me, you're the heir, do it. Now, you know, she calls his bluff. Obviously, even he's not brash enough to do something like that, because then that's declaring war against the crown. He wouldn't make it out alive. And so he stands down, he gives the egg back, and the big thing when they're having that standoff is she says to him, oh, like you're to be wed, she's with child, and then Missaria just leaves. So she's like,
what the fuck?
That, you know, she's not happy with whatever just went down between Rhaenyra and Daemon. And we find out later, as Missaria is talking to Daemon, that she's not pregnant and she had no plans to marry him. And so she's not happy with his antics. She thinks that he's using her as just, you know, playing games with the king. And that's not what she signed up for.
She got a lot of screen time.
She got a lot of screen time. Her accent was weird. Like, she has like almost like a Jamaican accent, I thought. And I mean, she's not from anywhere specifically, so I guess whatever. But so she says, you know, I came with you to, you know, because I didn't want to be in fear. Yeah, I wanted to escape fear. I wanted to be liberated from fear. But I think she might have came to the wrong place for that. That's just how things are in Westeros. Seems like there's always fear. There's always a threat. And he's playing games. You know, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. So he's playing these games with dragons and against the king, against his brother. Then I don't think it's going to go well for him in the long run. But, you know, if he wants a fight, you know, Viserys clearly doesn't want to fight anyone. He doesn't want to start a war. He says that to Lord Corlys about the Stepstones. Says, I don't want to go to war with the Free Cities. You know, I don't want to go to war over my brother. So he's generally a peaceful king, it seems. Whereas Daemon is a wild card. He seems like he's willing to fight and do whatever he can to show his power. And so I think he kind of wants to be the instigator here.
Were you surprised he gave the egg back, even after she called his bluff? It was such a weird, he just like threw it. He just like,
He just tossed it.
Here you go.
I guess he didn't really have an alternative. You know, I think his plan the whole time his plan, I think, was just, all right, I have a dragon. And if we want a sword fight, we can sword fight, but like, I don't have to, I have a dragon. And then when she showed up, like, I think he didn't expect, Rhaenyra to show up. I still get vibes between Rhaenyra and Daemon. It's weird. Mm-hmm. It's weird, but there's still vibes there. And then
there's a little bit. It's like she's the only one he shows respect.
Yes, that's definitely part of it. She showed up, and all of a sudden he stood down. So it's like there's like a respect for sure, or you know, an appreciation, admiration,
or love.
So. let's wrap up the recap here.
He just threw the egg back. I was just kind of like odd. Like he was like, it was almost like a temper tantrum. Like, all right, fine. He just tossed it. It was just funny. But yeah, his woman got a lot of screen time, as if like she was like, you know, a major character. I felt like it was almost just like, okay, like she's angry, but like, do we care that she's angry? Like, it's not really a huge, I don't know. That's how I was feeling as, you know, minute four of her talking about, you know, she tried to escape fear.
Well, I mean, like we've seen in Westeros, you know, in Game of Thrones, there's been whores. I feel like there should be a better word that I use for that. But there's been
common women.
Yeah, women of the night who are kind of aides to powerful men. We have Shay was an aide to Tyrion and Tywin as well. Rose from Winterfell ends up going and kind of being an aide to Littlefinger. She's like running his brothel at one point. Like, so we've seen this before. So there's no reason to think that she can't be an aide to Daemon, but it seemed like she wasn't really an aide today. It was just,
she was pissed.
Yeah, she was pissed because he's using her playing games.
All right, let's keep going here because I don't want to give her, she already got enough screen time.
So just to wrap up the recap here, the last couple things in the episode, you know, Rhaenyra kind of apologizes to Viserys, you know, about disobeying. Not really an apology, but just kind of like she has to take her medicine. She has to go and talk to him, and he's like, you know, you disobeyed me. Why did you do this? Blah, blah, blah. You know, you're going to be the, you know, you're my heir. We need to strengthen, need to strengthen our line, blah, blah, blah. Like they have a good talk and she gets it. She's like, look, your duties to the realm. I get it that we need to strengthen our line, blah, blah, blah. You know, I get it. And so that they have a good talk. And afterward, it's like, okay, I think she kind of understood that, yeah, he's probably going to have to marry Lady Lena. And, you know, he's probably going to have kids with her, and that's just how it is. So then he's at the small council. He's announcing that he's...
And,
go ahead.
And I think, I mean, she, from the heir part of it, but also it's like, you know, mom and dad. Like, you know, my mom and dad were, like, married, like, 6 months ago and, like, living life, and now, like, my mom's dead, and, like, my dad is going to, like, marry another woman like that and just take out the heir part.
Absolutely.
It's, like, that odd. That, like, because she, you know, he says, like, I love your mom. No one's going to replace your mom. And she's like, I'm happy you fucking said that because, like, that's jamming me up a little bit here, bro. So that's part
absolutely,
of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I overlooked the emotional aspect of it. You're right. It's not just the air. It's
because she's
like my mom, dude. Like, yeah.
It's not like, you know, 14 year old, you know, in bed. It's much more.
Right. So then,
100%.
Then he goes to make his announcement that he is going to remarry. And, you know, we have Rhaenyra's there. She's kind of smiling. She's looking around. And then she kind of realizes what's going on. She's like, wait a minute. And Viserys says he's going to marry Alison Hightower. And you see Rhaenyra starts like tearing up. Like she's stone faced, but she starts tearing up. Like she's just.
And Alison's in the
room. Yeah, and Alison's there. So she's just stunned. She probably feels betrayed by both her father and her best friend because she didn't see this coming at all. And so, yeah, she probably feels betrayed. And Lord Corlys obviously is betrayed. He stands up. He says, you know, this is absurd.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. And so he leaves. And the very last scene of the show, he's making this pitch. We don't know who he's talking to. He's making this pitch that, you know, look, like we're both men who had to, you know, crawl up from the mud and you know, make ourselves, like, you know, I wasn't born into a great house. Like I had to, you know, make it a great house and you weren't, you know, nothing was given to you. And he's kind of buttering him up a little bit. Turns out he's speaking to Daemon, predictably, trying to form this alliance with Daemon because he knows that Daemon is the one with the power. Daemon's the one who has the ambition and who will, you know, he'll be the instigator. He'll show the power as opposed to Viserys, who doesn't want to use the dragons, doesn't want to start any war. And really, here Lord Corlys is just looking out for his best interest. Obviously, he's the one who's going to be hurt the most. He says it himself. You know, my house will be in ruin if this trade route is gone. If the ships keep getting wrecked, like that's his thing. He's got the fleet. He's the Navy guy. So he's trying to have Daemon help him out and take out the crab feeder and the Stepstones, and that's kind of where we're left.
Yeah, and just a couple things in that conversation. We got a little backstory on our boy, the Sea Snake. Just like, you know, he's got some street cred. you know, he dropped kind of his resume on us. And that was good. And also Demon, like when he started talking smack on the King, the Sea Snake started talking smack on the King, Demon kind of like pushed back, like, yeah, bro, like I can talk shit on my brother, but like you can't.
Exactly. He said exactly that.
Yeah, there was a little bit of like, hey, the guy still respect my brother, even though he's like fucking this whole thing up, in my opinion. But like only I can talk shit on him. So it wasn't like a, you know, like they weren't hugging after, but it was kind of like, hey, these are two, they might have some common goals, 100%. But yeah, that's where we're left, right? I mean, that's 100% where we're left. Mm-hmm. So what do you got? What are you thinking?
So I
got a couple.
Yeah, I don't want to go into the preview yet. We'll close with that because the preview said a lot. But from this episode, now we recapped. Do we want to go directly into Goat and Woat, or do we want to wait a little bit?
I just want to say a couple.
Okay.
Just a few things. I want to hear. Yeah, wrap up thoughts. One, why can't? I mean, not why can't, but like, shouldn't they also just try and be like marrying the princess too? Like, isn't that like a potential solution that's maybe a little less crazy?
That makes perfect sense. And that was a thought that I had, you know, with Lord Corlys freaking out. I'm like, okay, well, here's a little more age appropriate marriage. What if the princess marries Lord Corlys' son? Obviously, 100%. He's also pretty young he was in the first episode. He wasn't in this episode, but he's maybe at most, I don't know, like 8 years younger than her, like at most, which is a lot more reasonable than however old Viserys is and the 12-year-old.
Yeah, 52 and 12, 100%. So that was one thing that like stuck out in my mind. I was like, wait, isn't like, because, and this is another thing I want to say, is like, he didn't like outright promise her, but he did say something like, in that conversation, with the King and Princess, he says to her, like you're still going to pretty much be the heir. Like, he didn't promise her it, but he said like, no one will take your mom's place, just like no one will really take your place as like the heir. And so like, is that a definite? Like, what? Where did that? What does that mean? You know,
I'm a lawyer, and it was not in writing, so I don't think that promise means anything at all.
Right, 100%. And so, like, I feel as if a boy comes out of there and Alicent, and you know, six. I mean, we'll talk about the preview, but it seemed like, hey, like I handshake, but you know, we'll see what happens in a year and a half. 100%. So that was my two little things sticking out there, was just why don't we just marry her off, and you know, and she's 15, you know, apparently that's older than 14, which is good enough. And we can start popping out heirs without you marrying 12-year-old or the daughter of the Hand of the King.
And then so, you know, if it was you know, Lord Velaryon's son, then you mend that relationship, and he's 100%. Not pissed, and then you're good. So I think that's something we could see, maybe not with Lord Velaryon, something, but I could definitely see in the next episode or two, you know, them pressuring Rhaenyra for marriage and using that as a political chip.
100%. And the other thing I just want to say too is like, Rhaenyra, I think in this episode specifically, like, especially when she came, she gets that big dub over Dragonstone, she comes back in and the dad's kind of pissed, and she's just like, hey, like it worked. And like, she has like some swagger, you know? And so I think that's just like, that's like a snowball. This is like, it's just not foreshadowing almost, but just kind of like the ball's rolling on her being like, okay, I'm not like the little girl who like, oh shit, what am I going to do here? Very much like, let's roll.
Yeah. I think, and that's even at the very beginning when she says, why don't we just use the dragon riders, for the crab feeder, Lord Corlys says, before she gets dismissed, he says, you know, yeah, at least the princess has a plan. So she's definitely, you know, not a diplomat as Viserys seems to be. She's more of a doer. She's, you know, wants to take action. And that definitely reminds me of Daenerys for sure. Not necessarily in a mad queen way, but, you know, Daenerys wanted things done. She would do them herself. That's kind of how I see Rhaenyra turning out as well.
Got it. All right. What do you got here? You want to get Goat and Woat, or you got any more takeaways?
Or something I forgot just right off the top of the episode, the intro music is back. So we got the intro music. We have a new kind of intro graphic. It'll grow on me. I'll get used to it. But it was more of like
it was weird.
It was like blood kind of dripping through of some stone work or something. I don't know, but it was interesting. I mean, that's, you know, fire and blood. That's the Targaryen. So there's definitely some symbolism there.
We need to bring it down, and we need to put it up on the play by play and look at the All-22 100%, because it was definitely, you know, importance. You know, they're not just, you know, dripping blood everywhere, but it definitely needs to grow on me a little bit for sure. Music's fantastic,
though. Yeah, the music. Same music. Just gets you hype. So looking forward to a couple more weeks of that for sure.
100%. All right. Anything else?
That is, I think that's about it for me for now for the episode. But we'll come back. You know, we'll have our wrap up episode midweek, and if there's any thoughts we missed, you know, we'll check out your comments and reactions on Twitter, and we can address them midweek on the preview pod.
Got it. Goat and Wote.
Goat and Wote. So our greatest of all time of the week, who had the best episode? Just to recap, last week. I think
last week
the winner of Goat of the Week was Princess Rhaenyra. She had 56% of the vote over Prince Daemon was second with 26% of the vote. And then Wote of the Week from last week was overwhelmingly was RIP Queen Emma, 74%. King Viserys was second with 17%. So that was overwhelming. For this week, I think Princess Rhaenyra again is a strong GOAT candidate. She, you know, showed off her muscle and her, you know, her queen abilities, princess abilities by going and making Daemon stand down. But then also, you know, her best friend is marrying her dad. So that kind of, you know, knocked her down a peg there, but still, I think overall strong episode, just didn't finish on a high note for her.
Got it. Yeah, we had a tweet. Tweets have been flying in 100%. And one of the tweets that came in was from Rowan Abbott. She said she echoed your sentiment, getting that dragon egg back like a champ. Hashtag goat. Totally feeling that as well. One thing I want to say too is just kind of going back here about 3.5 minutes here, but our boy the king, he could have handled this announcing of the marriage like 1,000 times better. You know, and so he just dropped like a bomb on everybody, unlike the two most important people of, you know, for him at the moment, which is his daughter and the sea snake. And he just surprises them both, just like horrible management from the king.
Absolutely.
That Wote nom for me 100%. And I know we have tweets that have flown in that agree with that for sure. Any other goats before we go to Wote though? Sorry about that.
No, you're good. Any other goats? I think we can throw Alicent Hightower on there. Not like she didn't do much this episode. Obviously, she talked to the king and managed to finagle her way into being betrothed to him. So she was selected
queen.
Yeah. She's going to be queen, which is just huge come up.
A big come up.
So good for her. of course, she may have kind of lost her best friend. Who knows? We'll see. But good episode. At least, you know, the finish for her was very strong. So I think she's up there.
Yeah.
And kind of by association, you could say possibly, you know, the hand Otto Hightower up there. Of course, he didn't have a great showing in Dragonstone, but he's also on the come up.
100% on the come up. Alison might need a pedicure for those nails as she's coming to be the queen. She's got to chill with the bloody nails. I don't like that.
Yeah,
I don't like
that at all. Severe anxiety that she's got. I don't know if it's
I don't know if it's
because she's, you know, going behind her friend's back trying to marry the king, or if she's just nervous about the whole situation. But
she had it during the tourney too, when they were killing people. She was finagling with the hands too. So I don't know. Just a side note there for sure. Any other goats? I mean,
it's tough. We'll always take suggestions. We'll have another in there on the poll.
Daemon, not a great Daemon, episode.
Not Corlys, not Rhaenys, not Lady Lena.
No.
Who else had a good episode? Queen, Kristen Cole was named to the Night's Watch.
Our boy Cole.
We'll figure it out when we get the poll up there.
It's not obvious. But yeah, Wotes. Let me just see the tweets that were flying in here on Wote.
Gotta throw Lord Corliss in there for Wote. No action was taken on Crab Feeder. He tried to set up his 12-year-old daughter to be queen, and he failed. It just backfired tremendously. Yeah. So he's a strong candidate, in my opinion, for Wote of the Week.
Yeah, Matty Ice MC tweets, and Corliss guy tried to pimp out his daughter and failed. That's definitely Wote worthy for sure. Another one, another tweet comes in, says the king, my man just wanted to play with his toys, not marry an underage girl. 100%. Love that banter for sure. We'll get another Wote up there. Real quick, Kurt, I want to get to, we put a little preview poll up. If it was going to be episode two, your expectations were that it was going to be better than last week, worse than last week, about the same as last week. What did you think going in, and what did you think coming out?
About this week's episode, you said? I was expecting it to be – I wasn't expecting it to be as good as last week. Last week, I thought it was the first episode. They had to come out firing, and they did. I thought episode two, probably going to be a setup episode, and it was. So – my expectations were met. I wasn't expecting, greatness. I was expecting solid setup, and that's what we got.
100%. I feel the same way. Total table setter, episode two. That's like perfect place for it. And yeah, I think we did. So anything going forward? I know to the preview pod, but anything you want to hit on before we go out?
Anything before we go out? I think that's it. I think we are going to tweet out a map, to help everyone out with the geography, show where the step zones are. For all the visual learners out there, it'll help. So,
I love the visual. We put out the one about the, with the dragon sizes.
Yes.
That and like all the names. Yeah, yeah. People love that one. So a lot of visual learners on the Twitter sphere for sure. If you don't follow us on Twitter and you're just listening, it's right after what, Curry?
Right after Hot D. HOTD, House of the Dragons, right after Hot D.
After Hot D, 100%. Do give us a follow for sure. We're going to be tweeting out all week. We'll do the preview pod midweek, maybe Thursday this week, Curry, because that's when they seem to be dropping the title of the episode and some pictures. Absolutely. We did Wednesday last week. We'll keep you updated on that. But this has been the Instant Reaction Pod. Curry, any final instant reactions for you? Anything?
Show was already renewed for a second season, so I'm excited about that. We know, all they needed was one episode to show that it's not a bust. It wasn't a flop. Episode one had a huge reaction, huge rating, so gave them the green light for season two, and I assume we're going to get a couple more after that. So I'm excited. Show's got a lot of momentum, and let's keep enjoying this ride together.
Absolutely. And I'll just say pace, man. Would just absolutely fly. And we'll get to that in the preview because the preview said more paces to come. And so we'll get to it. All right, Curry. We're all good here. We're going to shut it down. This has been our instant reaction to episode two, House of the Dragon. Curry, what was the name of the episode again?
The Rogue Prince. Make sure
The Rogue
you
Prince.
Rate, review, subscribe on iTunes and wherever you listen to your podcast.
Awesome. We'll be back Thursday with our preview pod of episode three. Until then, we will join you next time. Right after Dragons.